You know, as we get ready for this second session, second look into Philippians 2, this pattern that the Apostle Paul lifted up for us, what it means for us to be human, fully human, completely human, in the pattern of Jesus-type human, not the kind of humanity that we often associate with being human and the way that we sometimes miss the mark. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, let me read the text for us, and then I'll move into the message today. It says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the others." That is our text today as we continue on in this pattern that Paul lifts up here for us. And it is a pattern that feels, as you hear it and as we begin to unpack it, it's going to feel foreign to us. I mean, it's how God created us. It's how God invites us to live. And yet it feels foreign to us because we live in a world that doesn't recognize this pattern. We, as a people, humanity, but especially in our culture, we have a deep desire to dominate. It's kind of ingrained in us. What Paul is offering us here is a completely different set of rules, a completely different game to play, where power and domination are not in the equation. Where getting ahead by stepping upon somebody else is not part of the deal. We love winners, don't we? We admire winners. Tom Brady, yes, I know. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. He is. He is the greatest of all time quarterbacks because he has won 7 Super Bowls and my wife hates him. Okay. You have to love him. That's not what you told me the other day. Okay, all right. But we're obsessed with winning, and that's why Tom Brady is famous, because he's got all these Super Bowl rings, and he's at, you know, the last Super Bowl, I don't know if you saw it, there was a commercial that came on, and it was, I'm not promoting MGM betting app, but it was a commercial on the TV, and the whole joke of it was, you know, if you want in, you can get in, everyone's going to have a great time, you can win, except not you, Tom. Because, as they said in the commercial, to be quite honest, Tom, you've already won too much. You know, it's time to let somebody else have a turn. You know, the idea, because at the bottom of the root of that idea is that for every winner, there's got to be a loser. And if Tom Brady's in, then obviously you're the loser, right? Obviously. Because there is this mentality that we have as if life were a, what we're going to call a zero-sum game. Which means if somebody wins, someone has to lose. This makes perfect sense. If you're playing a game, say for example, poker, you and your friends gather for a Friday night for a poker game, and you walk home with $100 in your pocket you didn't have at the beginning of the night. Guess what? Some of your friends are walking home lighter. Because that's the only way it works. To come out ahead, you have to have someone else come out behind. It's how it has to be. That's a zero-sum game, that you can't have both winners. You have to have a winner and a loser. And that makes sense when you're playing a game like poker or a game like football. But when it comes to the issue of life, it's a completely different thing. But it's so ingrained in us. It's part of our competitive drive. There is something that says that we need to win. I will you know, it makes sense again. You know, we look in the world around us, we see this played out on the world stage. We have armies and nations that are pitted against each other. You know, we see it out in the world when someone has a different opinion, that opinion must be silenced. We see it on the news with protesters and anti-protesters, and they seem to think whoever yells the loudest becomes the winner of the argument. You know, couples. In our marriages, oftentimes, when one of the partners seems to want to get their way, winning rather than the goal of advancing the couple, there are things that just come out of us by nature, this idea that I've got to win in order to get ahead. But what if life were not a zero-sum game? What if what we read last week in Philippians 2:5 is true, that in our relationships with one another, rather than seeing it as I've got to win to get ahead, I've got to win to be able to dominate, I've got to win to be able to get my way or to become happy, what if in our relationships with one another we had the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus? Okay, this becomes our jumping off place because we are invited to live something different. Okay, I want to go out and just do one more bit. One more bit of a little bit of what's going on in the world around us. About a week ago, there is a famous football player. His name was Harrison Butker. Anyone ever hear of Harrison Butker? It's a wonderful name. I will give him that. He's a field goal kicker. He's a place kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, I know. All the Raider fans are going boo. See, I can't bring up Tom Brady. I can't bring up the Kansas City Chiefs. Talk about somebody better. Well, Butker is famous because he's a very good kicker and he plays for a very good team. But what made him famous in this past week was he went to a commencement speech. He was the commencement speaker for a small Catholic school near where he lives, and they invited him to come and share. And he began to share and talk about his views on the world. He talked about what does it mean to be, you know, to live in this world? Against abortion, he's against the LGBTQ agenda, and he had the audacity to suggest that being a wife and mother is a worthy vocation, a choice that some women might want to make and highlight. And because of that, he has now become reviled all across social media. Guess why? Yeah, because he's anti-woman, right? And so you should see it. It's, you know, the Chiefs should cut him. The NFL should bar him from playing. This is what's being said out in social media land. You know, the fans of the Chiefs should pick another team. The team who employs him should not have people going to the games. We should boycott going to the games. Why? Because he had the audacity to speak his mind. I want to suggest to you that rather than saying that any varying opinion should be silenced, that maybe what we're invited to is to have a different perspective on how we do conflict. And that's what Jesus is modeling for us, what Paul is talking about here. You know, it's not just famous people. It's easy for us to get caught up in it as well. I've got a pie chart here, and the pie chart is the outcome of political arguments on social media. You can see the green area indicates the times that you change your mind hearing that political argument, and the blue area represents times when you're able to convince others of your place in the political argument. And the red section represents when minds are never changed and everyone just remains angry. Does that look familiar? This is the challenge of that zero-sum game. When the zero-sum game is applied to personal relationships, everybody loses. Everybody loses. So how do we break that? You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride. And I'm telling you, folks, this is the root of it all. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. So if you're ready to take some advice, and you want got wisdom here today, don't fall into the trap of the zero-sum game. Don't fall into the trap of having to attend every argument you're invited to. Don't fall into the trap of thinking everything has to be a competition and you better come out on top, because if you don't come out on top, you'll be on the bottom. Don't believe the Ricky Bobby belief that if you ain't first, you're last, okay? There's a lot of room for in between. There is something called looking out for the needs of others around you that can transform what it means for us to be fully human. Okay, so back into the session. This is in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In other words, don't do anything that's going to simply be promoting yourself, getting your way, winning the argument because they can't answer you. Guess what? You didn't win a thing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Okay, so here comes the advice. I said in Proverbs 13, we said this is some advice, and if we're wise, we will take it. This is how we begin to do this and do this better, what Paul is just talking about here. First, one thing that we need to do is we need to check what I'm going to call today the mirror meter. The mirror meter, okay? And what I mean by that is simply checking to see how much of me is in the lens of how I see the world. How much of me has got skin in the game about how I am now viewing what goes on? Why is it that person who said what I don't believe on Facebook bothering me so much? Why is what I see on the news? Why is what I'm seeing in my neighbor? What is it going on in me that says I have to somehow join this conflict and I have to somehow get ahead to where I can win the day? There is something very much about me and a lot of that argument, and it's because I put myself in kind of a self-centered way in the midst of my lens. Paul's inviting us to a different kind of lens. Two, we got to beware of that critical spirit. When we're walking about and we're looking at other people and we're always seeing the faults in other people, guess what? We're not doing what Paul is inviting us to, which is looking out for the needs of them. We're just walking around criticizing them because they're not doing things right. This is easy for us to fall into because you know what? Folk around us are not doing it right. But us walking around noticing it, being offended by it, or getting angry at them because they're not doing it right doesn't do us or them any good. It might make us feel superior because I can see the faults in them and that makes me feel like I got it better going on. But it's not really doing what is being called for here in 3 and 4 of chapter 2. It is this idea of somehow working our way out in a way that is more humble is what we're shooting for here. And again, humble, as in the words of Rick Warren, is that humility is not thinking less of yourself. Hear that. Make sure you hear this because I'm not saying put yourself down. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. It's taking that mirror and taking yourself out of the mirror so much so that you got a clearer lens. So it's not just about you, and it's not just about getting the things that you want, but that it's about saying, I'm going to look out for the needs of others, thinking of yourself less. And finally, number three, I want to say this. This comes down to the last one. This is the way that we extend value, that we give value away. How do you care for that person so that you can do that? It's to be interested in somebody else, not just in your own thing, to pay attention to the needs of those who are around you, to be able to look and to listen and to give consideration. You know, to consider how you might respond, to consider how you might act, to consider how you might do for somebody else. Maybe it's considering because there's been this time of conflict, and maybe it is considering their feelings and saying, you know what, I was looking to win that, not looking to build you up. So this becomes time for an apology. This becomes time maybe to listen. You know, I was too busy talking and arguing and proving my point, and I wasn't really listening. I need to come back, and I need to listen. I need to hear. I need to be able to understand. You know, in the world around us, we don't do that. No one says, oh, hang on a second. I never thought of that. Tell me more. We say, no, that's not what I think. So coming back to be able to listen, to looking for ways that we can consider others' needs before ourselves is the critical piece. And that means we have to think of a different type of game. Finally, consideration can also be this, can be, and I mentioned this last week, but it continues to play out. Take some time, and maybe some of you did this week, to each day pick someone you want to express love to and pray for that person. I want to say pick someone you want to consider, that you just want them to feel valued by you, so you take time to pray for them. But how can we make those around us, whether it be in our homes or in our neighborhoods, in our churches, in our community, how do we make people around us feel more valued? This is how, in 1 Peter 3, it says this: we are to be like-minded. You know, this is a good one, actually. Let's think about this. Maybe we underline this in our Bible, or maybe we put this on our refrigerator door. Maybe we put it on our mirror in our bathroom or something as we go into our day, that we are to be like-minded, sympathetic, love one another, to be compassionate and humble. If that became our game plan, if instead of saying, I'm going into this day to win, if I'm going into this day to dominate, I'm going into this day to defend myself, I'm going into this day to get ahead, I'm going to go into this day to show something out, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to make a difference, to raise my esteem in the eyes of others, if instead of all of that, which brings it back again to us, that we were to be sympathetic, love one another, to be compassionate and humble, we would be changing the world around us. I said it last week, I'll say it again. What Jesus is talking about and what Paul is now amplifying for us, this is revolutionary stuff. This begins to change in small ways the world around us. When we choose to live like Jesus, to have this humility, this compassion, this love that just kind of flows out of us, instead of saying the world is going to be expecting us to play the game of having to win. And when we say, I'm not going to play the game to win, I'm going to play the game to love, to be compassionate and humble, that changes the world around us. And this is our call. This is our call. So how do we do that? How do we begin to apply that? How do we begin to value others above ourselves? Are we able to give consideration? Are we able to listen? Are we able to apologize without fear of being abused and taken advantage of? That's what we're invited to do. Father, I pray that you would help us today. This is hard for us because our pattern, surrounded by all the world around us, calls us to fight for every inch, to overcome everything, even everyone around us. God, to desire and to drive, to strive for what makes us happy and what we want in the way of getting our way. Father, I pray that you would help us today to be more humble, to be more compassionate, to be able to extend greater love for those around us, breaking that pattern of always needing, desiring, wanting to be first. Father, help us to just walk this out, even as Jesus modeled it for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.